Sagt Mishnah Baita Masechtas Baba Basra, Perik Yud, Mishnah Zayin. Shnei Achen, we have two brothers. Echad Ani, one is poor, the Echad Asher, one is rich. The Niach Lenavian, their father, left them Merchet, a bathhouse, Ube Sabat, or an olive press. That's the Yerusha. Now, the rich brother says, my own private Beis HaMerchetz. I don't like going to the public Beis HaMerchetz. Or my own private olive press. That's good. The poor brother says, I can't afford my own private Merchetz, even if I get it as a Yerusha. What can I do with a Merchetz? I don't have servants to warm it up. What can I do with an olive press? I don't have olives to press. I want to use it to rent it out and make some money. Zok to Mishnah, son, Lesachar, if the father, Taka, used it to rent out and to make money, then Aschal Yemsa. The children also should rent it out, and they divide the money that comes in, the income. The rich brother wants to use it for himself. The poor brother can say, listen, we're going to use it the way Tati used it. Asan Liatzman, if the father, Taka, did not rent it out, but he used it for himself, his family, then the rich brother says to the poor brother, that's how we're using it. The poor brother is going to say, I can't even afford to do that. How am I supposed to heat it up? How am I supposed to get wood? How am I supposed to wash it? Well, says the rich brother, kach lach avadim, buy yourself some servants, v'yirchatzu b'merchatz. Let them set it up so you can wash in this bathhouse. Or kach lach zeisim, buy yourself olives. Iboy v'asim b'vei sabad, come and crush them in the olive press. We're going to use it the same way father used it. The poor brother doesn't have the money to use it in this way. Can't stop the rich brother from doing so. Sagt der Mishnah weiter, Shnayim shoyu be'ir achas. He had two people living in the same city. Shem echad Yosef ben Shimon. One of their names was Yosef ben Shimon. V'shem acher Yosef ben Shimon. And the other one had the same name. His name was Yosef. His father's name was Shimon. Ein yecholin lehoitzi shtar chayv zeh al zeh. Neither of them can take out a shtar and say, you owe me money. What does it say in the shtar? It says, Yosef ben Shimon owes money to Yosef ben Shimon. Who's the borrower and who's the lender? The borrower, explains the Batanura, can say, no, I'm the lender. And Itaka returned it to the other Yosef ben Shimon is really the borrower when he paid me the loan. In other words, it's very good that you have a shtar that says Yosef ben Shimon owes money to Yosef ben Shimon, but we don't know who owes money to who because you're both Yosef ben Shimon. Vayter v'lei acher, Yochel Hoitzi Aleyan Shtachayv. Levi can't come along and say, I have a shtar that says Yosef ben Shimon owes me money, because each Yosef ben Shimon is going to say, not me, it's the other one. Vayter says the Mishnah, Nimsa le'echad ben shtereisav, if someone finds a receipt amongst his shtareis that says, shtareis shal Yosef ben Shimon perua, the shtar that says that I owe money to Yosef ben Shimon is all paid up. In other words, I repaid Yosef ben Shimon. He should have given me back the shtar. Instead, he gave me a receipt. Instead of giving me back the shtar, he gave me a receipt that I paid up the loan. Now, the problem is that this person borrowed the same amount of money from both Yosef ben Shimon's, and he has a receipt that says he paid up one of them. So the din is shtar is shnein peruyan. When any one of the Yosef ben Shimon comes and says, look, I have a shtar that says I can collect money from you, he can say, well, I have a shtar that says I paid it up. Here's a receipt. I were not sure who. Good proof that it's not you. Now the Taisus Yomtov says if they're smart, these two Yosef and Shimon, what they could do is they can take a third party and say, he represents both of us. And you do owe the money to one of them. Now, Kate said, yes. What can we do to avoid all of these problems? What should we do if in a town there are two Yosef and Shimon? Sakta Mishnah, Yishaleishu. They should add a third generation to the names. They should write Yosef and Shimon ben Yaakov. So one is Yosef and Shimon ben Yaakov, and the other is Yosef and Shimon ben Avram. Now, v'imayim mishulashim. Well, what if they have the same name for three generations? Then yichtavu simen. They should write the tall Yosef and Shimon, the short Yosef and Shimon, big one, small one. V'imayim simon. And what if they mamish had the same? They look alike. So yichtavu kayin. They should write Yosef and Shimon, the kayin, or the Yisrael, so we know the difference. Well, what if neither are kahanim? Or what if both are Kahanim? Then they should write four generations back. They write Yosef ben Shimon ben Avram ben Shmelka. And the other will be Yosef ben Shimon ben Avram ben Zanvel. Zok the Mishnah Vaiter. Why Melipanai, if someone says to his son, he's on his deathbed, he's about to leave this world, and he says to his son, you should know, Shtar ben Shturois, say one of the Shturois, amongst my Shturois, one of the loan documents, Perua. It was repaid. And the borrower trusted me, even though I didn't give him back the Shtar. So I don't want you to collect again from that person. But he didn't tell him which one. So the din is shtaris kulam peruyan. The son has to, lemaisa, treat all of the shtaris as if they were paid because he doesn't know who really was paid. Nimsa le'echad sham shnayim. Let's say he found two shtaris where it says that two loans were made to the same borrower. And we know only one of them was paid. So hagadol perua. Then he should assume that the larger one is paid. Vakatn ein perua, the smaller one is not paid. Let him collect the smaller one, not the larger amount. We want to take chances that he's collecting something for a second time. Vaiter zok the Mishnah. Hamalva es chaveroi al yidei orev. Someone lends money to his friend, but only through an orev. An orev is a person who guarantees the loan. In other words, he tells the lender, yeah, you lend the money to him. If he doesn't pay back, I'll repay it. So this orev has to realize this is a serious commitment. That means, al pi halacha, he has to pay back. If the borrower was not going to pay back, you have to pay back, Mr. Arev. Now, what happens, lemaisa, if the borrower is not paying back? You can't go straight to the Arev. Lo yaparim in Arev, the lender can't demand that the Arev pay him until he first goes to the borrower. Only when the borrower just doesn't want to pay, and the lender tries to get the money out of him in Bezdin, and the Bezdin tells the borrower to pay, but Lamaisa has nothing to pay with. Only then can you go to the guarantor, to the Arev. However, Ve'im Omar, if the lender said, the time that he made the loan, Al Menashe Iparim Imisha Erza, I'm lending the borrower this money, you're the Arev, you're guaranteeing the loan, on the condition, he says it beferish, that I will be able to demand payment from whomever I want. Then you part him in Arev. He doesn't have to go through that whole process trying to get the money from the borrower. He can demand that the loan be repaid from the Arev first. Now the Batanur explains from the Gemara that this is only true if the borrower didn't have any land. So it's hard to collect from the borrower. How do we know what he has stashed away someplace? But if the borrower has land, and everyone knows this is his land, even if the lender made this tanai, then he can collect from anyone he wants. He still cannot collect from the Arev unless he tries to collect from the borrower himself, because that should be easy enough. Now, there's another kind of an Arev called an Arev Kablan. An Arev Kablan is more than a guarantor. Stam Arev means, I guarantee that he's going to pay back. If he doesn't pay back, I will. An Arev Kablan is saying more than that. The Arev Kablan says to the lender, give him the money, I'll give the money back to you. So it's as if this Arev is borrowing the money himself. And the Tanna Kamma holds that in the case of an Arev Kablan, you can go straight to the Arev, even if the borrower has land. We all know this is his land and it's easy to collect from. Arev Kablan means no hassle on part of the lender. He can come straight to the Arev Kablan. It doesn't make a difference how easy it is to collect from the borrower. Azayal Tanakama. But Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees. That's how the Batanura says we have to learn Pshat in the Mishnah. Shimon Gamliel Omer. Even in the case of an Arev Kablan, even if the Arev went so far as if to say, give him the money, I'll give it back to you. We still say, Im Yesh Nechasim Leloiva, if the borrower has available property such as land, Benkach, whether he's a regular Arev or even an Arev Kablan, Lo Yaparim and Arev, don't go to the Arev first. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, V'chein hoy Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel also said, He Arev le'isha b'ksubasa, let's say someone signed as an Arev for a woman's ksuba. The woman says, how can I trust this person? Maybe he's not going to have money to pay me back. If Chas V'Sham, there's a divorce, how will I live on? This person says, your husband can't pay you, I guarantee the ksuba. Well, Yabayla Magasha, and her husband Tak is divorcing her. Now the guarantor has to pay her ksuba, if the husband doesn't. Zok the Mishnah, we're going to ask the husband to do something over here. Yadirena Hano, we want the husband to make a neder that asks the wife to have any Hano from the husband. Why? Because we're scared that there's some conspiracy going on over here. Shemi Yasu Kinunya al Nechasim Shalzeh. Maybe this husband doesn't want to divorce his wife. He has no intention of leaving his wife. But they're saying, the husband and wife are saying, we're going to pull off a trick over here and get the money out of the one who guaranteed the ksuba. So officially he divorces her. Now the wife collects the ksuba money from the Arev, and right afterwards, he remarries her, which he could have, he's not a kayan. So to protect the Arev from such a plot, we force the husband to make a neder, to make a vow that his wife can't have any anor from him. And this way, even if he's not a kayan, he won't be able to remarry her once he divorces her. So we don't have to worry that they're only doing this as a trick to get the money out of the Arev. Okay, let's see if we remember all the way back to the beginning of our mission. If you have two brothers, one is poor, the other is rich, and their father left them a bathhouse or an olive press, the rich brother says, oh, good, I want to use it. I'll send my slaves to warm up the bathhouse. I'll press my olives there. The poor brother says, I don't have slaves. I don't have olives. I want to rent this out. It depends what the father did with it. If the father took a rented it out, that's what we're going to do. We're going to rent it out. They divide the profit. If the father used it for himself, then the rich brother will say to the poor brother, it's your problem. We're going to use it the way father used it. Private use. Go get yourself servants. Let them warm it up. Get yourself olives and go press it. Then the Mishnah told us, if you have two people in the same city, and both of their names were Yosef and Shimon, they can't pull out a shtar chayv one on the other, because we don't know who's the borrower, who's the lender. And a third party can't take out a shtar chayv that Yosef and Shimon owes him money, because each one's going to say it's the other Yosef and Shimon. And if someone finds amongst his shtarais a receipt that says, shtarei shel Yosef and Shimon perua, the loan document, which says, I owe money to Yosef and Shimon, is paid up, they're both considered paid up. None of these Yosef and Shimons can come along and say, you owe me money, because I say, I have a shtar. Maybe it's you that I paid up already. Now we said that Taisus Yom Tov says what the two Yosef and Shimons can do is they can get together and appoint someone that represents both of them. So between the two of us, you vadai owe one of us the money. So what do we do if you have two Yosef and Shimons in a town? The answer is write the third generation, right? Yosef ben Shimon, ben Avram. And if their grandfathers were Avram, and write a siman, the tall Yosef and Shimon, the short Yosef and Shimon, or some other simanim. And if they look mamish the same, they write maybe one is a kohen, one is not. And if they're both kohanim, they're both not kohanim. So we learn that you go up a fourth generation. L'chatchila, we don't. We'd rather say kohen or not kohen because people didn't know who the fourth generation was sometimes, or it wasn't familiar to them. But if we can't have any other siman, then l'chanam we go up to a fourth generation. So one shtar will say Yosef and Shimon ben Avram, then Yitzchak, and the other will say Yosef and Shimon ben Avram, then Zandel. If someone on his deathbed says to his son, one of the documents, among my loan documents, which says that people owe me money, but one of them already has been paid up, the person paid me already. You have to consider them all paid up, because I don't know which one is paid up. If, let's say, there are two loan documents against the same person, that person borrowed twice. Okay, so one of the loans is paid up. Which one? You have to assume the bigger one, not the smaller one. If someone lends his chavra money through an arev, someone guarantees the loan, you can't go straight to the arev. You have to first try to collect from the borrower. If he said, okay, but on the condition that I can take the money from whomever I want, then you could go to the arev if you want to, but if Lamaisa, the borrower, has land which is easy to collect and he can't hide it, we'd rather you take the land first. What is the din if he's an Arev Kablin? An Arev Kablin means where the person says, no, lend him money, I'll pay you back. Don't worry about it. So it's more than just if he doesn't pay you, I guarantee the loan. It's as if you're lending me the money to give him. So according to the Tanakhama, if he's an Arev Kablin, even if the borrower has land, no, you can go straight to the Arev Kablin. Shem Megamil says, even in the case of an Arev Kablin, if the borrower, if the one who actually got the money has land and it's easy to collect, collect from that first. And then we learned if someone is an arev for a woman on her ksuba, if your husband won't be able to pay the ksuba, I'll pay it, and her husband wants to divorce her. So we're a little bit concerned. What if the husband and wife are playing games over here? What if they're making a trick? He's going to divorce her. She's going to go to the one who guaranteed the ksuba to get her ksuba. Then he'll remarry her. So they have the money from the guarantor. Therefore, we say that he has to make a neder, that his wife can't have any hanah from him. This is going to guarantee that she's not going to remarry him after they get the money out of the guarantor.